Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 hello. Santa Barbara, it's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And today, this is a program inspired by my good friend, Leslie Westbrook. And I just have to give a shout out to Leslie, that she has a business that you guys should know about. She, and this is an important thing. I get asked this a lot, and I refer people to Leslie. She assists clients in selling fine art, antiques, and collectibles on almost any platform. So she can use international auction houses. She can use private buyers. She knows everybody in town. She's been here forever. Her website is www.auctionliaison.com or via email, leslieawestbrook@gmail.com. And we'll shout that out a couple times throughout the hour. But Leslie said, I wrote a column about regretting owning art or things and not buying things that, or acquiring things, the one that got away syndrome. And I wrote a column about that, and I pulled 10 of my clients and I asked them, do you have any regrets about owning what you own, collecting what you collect, or do you have any regrets about not buying or not collecting something that was slapped you in the face and you just did not buy it? And I got really wide responses. I mean, one woman said, I wish I never owned anything. Another lady said, I feel really bad because my kids think I'm a hoarder and I have to deal with this before I die. I mean, I got all kinds of responses. And Leslie said, I have a story about a regret. And she said it to me in an email. And I thought, look, I'd love to have her talk about, you know, her life in this arena. She has had a lifelong interest in art and antiques. She was interested in auctions as a young kid, and she went with her grandmother to auctions in Los Angeles. She was an Anglophobe and went to London many times, and of course, knew Portobello Road well, Bermansky Market, shops along the King's Road. She has a last name Westbrook, so she's got British ancestry, obviously. She sold, and how I met Leslie was about 20 years ago. She had a little shop in Montecito. And then also, I think we went out for lunch or something, and she got to talk. We were at the ranch, I think, San Ysidro. And I think she got talking with the people in the next table over, and lo and behold, she ended up going abroad with them, strangers, became a wonderful travel writer.
Wow.
And gosh, you know, she's won all kinds of awards for her travel writing through the years. But when she traveled, she sought out antique shops and auctions, and she bought and sold. And then somebody asked her to help with an Andy Warhol collection. And then she thought, okay, I'm going to do this for a living. And she has. And she, not long ago, I think it was last summer, she covered it and sold and very carefully went through a huge, I saw it, believe me, it was huge estate in Montecito. She worked with all the major auction houses, and I had the good fortune of seeing the collection. Some of the pieces were so incredible, they received international press. So it was amazing, amazing. So she is going to talk to us about her regrets in the art world, or her interests in the art world. And then I also have Jacqueline Woods with me today. She actually is on the other side, as Leslie would say, in the other lane. She's an artist, and she's had work at the Getty, at the Santa Barbara Museum of Art, the Cleveland Museum of Art, etc., numerous private collections. And I met her at Avalon Labs in Goleta, where she assists in framing and really specialized framing and mounting of fine art. She is a art preparator, I guess it's how you pronounce it. But she's handled fine art for over almost 40 years now. And she's had 42 years in the dark room. And the way she does her dark room, I know John, who's my friend and partner, was talking with Jackie about her dark room practices. And she's kind of an old school gal. And we'll talk a little bit about that, too. She's a maker and collector of photographs. This is what's so fun, Leslie. I didn't tell you about this, but Jackie has over the years amassed 30,000 American snapshots.
Wow, how cool.
And she, yeah, she uses that in her work. And she shows at the Duncan Miller Gallery. I'm very familiar with that gallery in Los Angeles. She's also shown in London, Amsterdam, and New York. And Jackie, when I was reading that about you, I thought, I knew a guy long, long time ago who used to, I had a shop back in the old days. So 30 years ago or so, he'd come into my shop and he'd buy boxes of people's family photos. And he ended up doing a greeting card company. And it's a famous company now where, you know, there's like somebody's aunt with a cocktail, you know, this sort of thing. And it's 1960, this sort of thing. And so there's definitely a market for that. And then I also knew of a gentleman who produced a whole book on, you know, other people's relatives. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But I want to start the hour by asking Leslie what her regret story and how much money it involved. Leslie, will you tell us?
Sure. Good morning. And thank you, Elizabeth, for having me back on. I haven't seen you on the air here since our Latinx mural project in Carpinteria, which maybe we can mention
because
right. It's up. We got the mural up. Yeah. So many, many, many years ago, I won't say how, and let's just say in the last century, I had a friend in Paris who was a French Vietnamese artist, and his work was beautiful. And I went to visit him at his very tiny studio, and he had a beautiful piece. It was a diptych, and it was an homage to Turner. And I fell in love with it. And I was there with a boyfriend at the time. And the boyfriend said, I will buy this for you. And the artist, his name was Tong, Haiwan Tong, said, you have to wait a year because it's going to be on in an exhibition and it's the cover of a catalog and it's $2,000. So I was thrilled. I waited a year and got the painting, and I had it for a number of years. And hung prominently in my modest home in Summerland. And then one day out of the blue, I got a call. It must have been about, I would say 7, 8, 9 years later. And it was an art dealer from Hong Kong. And Tong was not a particularly well-known artist, but he suddenly had been gaining some popularity. And he said, I have a collector in Australia, and he's very interested in this particular painting, and we'd love to come see it, and would you consider selling it? And so I said, yeah, you know, well, let's talk about it. So they came, and he offered me $10,000 for the painting, which was a lot of money for me at the time, and I sold it, regrettably, because not that many years later, and I would have to look it up, and I can do that sometime during the show, it went to, and I did sell some of his small pieces very well at auction, so it's not like I completely lost out, but many years later, the painting went to auction in Hong Kong, and it sold for $80,000. I know, ouch. His work has since declined, and do I wish I still had the painting? Yes, but I do have it in my memory bank. And I'm one of these people that has more art than wall space. So it's all good. And hopefully it's being enjoyed and loved by someone. But yeah, that was a big one.
You know, it's interesting. I had, when I was writing that column and I was thinking about and interviewing some of my clients, and I had a comment from a woman who had actually lost a family member. And she was like, kind of thinking about the whole process of regret. And she said, you regret and you're in that pit until the appreciation wins over the regret. And so that was really kind of enlightening what you just said, that it's in your memory bank.
Right. And I got to live for it a number of years, and we got to help this artist that needed the money at the time. He died not long after. So, and it's cataloged, and it's preserved and it's, you know, it's somewhere. So,
yeah. Well, Jackie, do you, first of all, I'd like to say, Jackie, tell us a little about what you do with those snapshots before we ask you your regret story.
I don't even know where to start on that one. I became interested in them roughly 20 years ago, and I had a girlfriend who's still in Santa Barbara, Gail Pine, who's also an artist, and we started collecting them together, and our aesthetic was so close, it was crazy. We couldn't even pick together, it was that close. So after years of talking about them and thinking about them, we put a body of work together, and we were invited to show the work at the Getty Museum in 2004, called Close to Home, and it was all about the vernacular American snapshot and its place in the world of photography. And seriously, some of my best little pieces cost me 25 cents and they're masterful, you know, and they're unknown. So, you know, underneath photography for me, there's a something about memory. I'm always wanting to remember everything. I don't want to forget anything. So that's a theme under photography. And so, apparently it's, I don't want to forget other people's memories either. So I'm sort of like archiving, I'm archiving a lot of mid-century American memory, if you will. So.
That's so interesting because, you know, occasionally I know Leslie's probably run into this. If in the old days, you know, we, both of us were very familiar with how to run an estate sale, and there'd be boxes and boxes of souvenirs and photographs, and the family, usually the kids, they don't want them, you know, they don't want to deal with them. And so basically there you are. But I know that occasionally I found things that I thought were pretty valuable. I think one of my stories on photography and finding memories, guy came in with a Civil War style albums, photo album. They're small usually. They're usually, you know, leather covered, small. And I recognized a priest in there. You know, he was a frock, no, a priest. And he had a name that was given to him. It was an Anglo name, but he also had a Hawaiian name. Hmm. And I thought, I wonder if this is that priest that went out and did the leprosy.
Oh, Father Damien.
Yes. Turned out it was.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. And it turned out we were able to sell that thing for a lot of money. That's, we'll go to quick break. My dog is telling me it's time to go to break. Richard, let's go to quick break. We can get back. I'm going to put the dog out. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking today about regrets in the art world and in the collecting world and in the world of stuff. And of course, you're listening, you're saying, I wish I never started to own anything. But there are things that are part of our material lives that matter. They're symbolic, for example. And objects take on symbolism over the years for us. And we're talking a little bit about that with two experts here. I've got Leslie A. Westbrook. And Leslie comes from such a cultured family, such an artistic family. Her father was a pianist, jazz pianist. And her mother, who was born in Sicily, or at least Sicily-blooded, was a child actress. And she was an actress at Pasadena Playhouse, and she performed with Harpo Marx, et cetera. And Leslie was actually in utero at the time. How fun is that? And so she comes from an artistic family, artistic people in general. And I also
I'm going to give a shout out to my mom today because it's her 94th birthday.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Marcella.
Happy birthday, Marcella. Yeah. Fantastic. Jacqueline Woods is with me. She is a maker and collector of photographs. And she's shown, we're learning at the Getty, and the Getty owns some of her work, the Santa Barbara Museum of Art and the Cleveland Museum of Art as well. And she's telling us about a photograph that she discovered that was extremely valuable. So do tell.
Okay, so years ago, well, first I should say, I regret not buying a photograph in the 80s, very simple of a seascape, very, very simple, by Hiroshi Sugimoto, who is a very famous Japanese photographer. At the time, it was $600, but that might as well have been $6,000 for me, and I couldn't afford it. It's now worth about $20,000 easily. And it's just a little small thing. But so I still lament over that one. But the universe was good to me because on one of my haunts into a local thrift shop, which was used to be on State Street, Alpha Thrift, I found a photograph of a calla lily. It was an gorgeous x-ray of a calla lily. So I thought this was quite fabulous, bought it for $24, came back and Googled it and thought maybe it was worth $1,000. And then the next couple weeks later, I went to a photography fair, and Howard Greenberg, who's a giant collector and very known dealer, well-known dealer in the photography world, happened to have on his wall at his booth at this fair behind him the same photo for $20,000. Mm. I went, oh, that's exciting. So sure enough, I contacted, I think I looked up Christie's. I always like to call them Rice Krispies. Christie's, I sold it with Sotheby's. And it sold for $20,000. So I know that was, so I got, the universe was good. Good to me on that one.
Excellent. Excellent. And who was the artist? Do you remember?
It's Dane Tasker. Thank you. He was a radiologist, and his work was discovered. And fortunately for me, Howard Greenberg promoted him. And that's why the work became valuable. There you have
it. Just a dumb question. I kind of know the answer, but I'd like to hear from you, Jackie. With a photograph, for example, was that photograph in edition? Was there a limited number?
I don't think it's an edition. There were a couple prints made, but it would just be like, say, like, think of Dorothea
Lange,
Migrant Mother, right? There's many, many copies, but it wasn't really editioned. So it depends on how, I guess, the print, how close it was made to the time it was made. It was, but you know, the whole, there's all that.
I'm pretty sure it was not editioned. Stamped on the back. Usually they'll be stamped.
Right. No. Yeah. So I think there are a couple copies of it. It's not like there's, you know, dozens and dozens. So
I have a regret story, and a lot of times, you know, I don't know what it is. Leslie can probably agree, I bet. In our business, when you first start out and you first start learning and you're in the market and you're a newbie, as you said, Jackie, the universe kind of throws you a good couple of crumbs. and it's beginner's luck. It really does occur in our business. And if you're wise enough, you realize, you know, that this is your opportunity, and you start to ramp up in your scholarship, in learning. And so I had, my son Lockie was, I think, just born a couple of years prior, and I was wearing him in one of those front packs. And I was working as a legal secretary, and I was terrible at it. So I was actually going like Jackie does now. I was going to thrift stores and flea markets, and I was buying a bunch of stuff that I could sell over the weekend and augment, you know, our meager salary as a legal secretary. And I bought an Asian screen that was very unique. It was all calligraphy. And I think I bought it for $50. It was maybe four panels. And, you know, I opened the house every weekend to the public, and people would come like a big sale and buy whatever was in the house, and that was in the house. And somebody said, you know, that's beautiful. I'd like to buy it. And what would you like for it? And at that time, I thought, if I doubled everything, if I doubled what I gave, I'd be okay. So I said, well, I'd like $100. And off he went, took the screen. So in those days, actually, magazines came in the mail, and Metropolitan Museum of Art had a monthly magazine of things that they had newly collected and happenings. And there was my screen on the cover of the Metropolitan.
Well, it just proves you have a good eye.
It was terrible. It was so interesting because the guy who bought it, I had a record of his name. And sure enough, I looked that up, and he was the actual donor of the piece.
Nice.
And, you know, and so he donated the piece, but of course had it appraised and took the tax advantages of that. But he donated the piece. And it turns out the appraised value was somewhere around $50,000 at the time.
Oh, my God.
This was about 30 years ago. And, it, you know, it was a big mistake. But what happened was that that feeling in your stomach, like you just blew it, made a huge mistake. And it turned into that feeling, turned into a willingness to research why it was so valuable. And that started me on a lifelong sort of scholarship of that particular style of calligraphy and that particular style of screen. I can still remember being so upset with myself and figuring, well, if you just go and research it, find out why, you won't make the same mistake twice. But Leslie, that do you agree with me? There's beginner's luck in this
business. Yeah, but even things slip through later in life. I had an experience like that where I bought a little vase because I'm also a thrift store, estate sale, flea market junkie since my 15 years old. And I had bought a little vase. It was a little kind of silver vase with these pounded designs in it. And I think I bought it for $20. And I briefly had a little stall down on State Street in one of those collectives. And I think I put it in there for $125. It sold right away. And then I went to one of those, what house is that? The Wallace Collection in London, right? And I'm walking around and I like, there's my vase. It's a Persian something, you know, I'm Persian and Asian, you know, you can't know everything, right? And I just kicked myself and I went, well, somebody got a good deal. But that's how you learn. You learn by handling things. You learn by holding them. And, you know, sometimes you spend a long time researching something. Other times, you know, you can figure things out quickly. But you talked about some winners too. I went to the Ventura Flea Market years ago. And I saw a big wooden mask. I said, how much is that to the dealer? He says, it's $100. I said, will you take 80? He goes, no. And I always keep a $100 bill in my pocket for such emergencies. So I bought it. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was right. You know, so you have a sense. You feel something's right. Or you just love the aesthetics of it. Well, I did some research. I sent it to Bonhams to have it looked at. It turned out it was a large wooden mask. It was a Northwest Coast mask. And I ended up selling that for $5,000 to a dealer. So, you know, it was worth even more. And I was happy to turn $100 into $5,000. I didn't want to be too greedy. But that's a rarity. I mean, you know, as you know, a lot of stuff goes through our hands. And you remember the bad ones and the good ones.
And Jackie, you mentioned, I think I was overhearing you getting a cup of coffee there. You mentioned something about you can still see two pieces that you regret not.
Yes. One of them was the Sugimoto photograph. I mean, fortunately for me, I can make things that I like. So that's helpful. The other one was a painting by Sally Chu. She's was a local a painter, kind of colorist, fields of color, sort of think Rothko-y kind of work. She was in Santa Barbara for decades. Then she relocated to Santa Fe, and now she's in San Diego. But I have a few of her pieces, but there's one particular piece called Celadon, and it was incredible. And there was another fellow at the opening who also wanted it. Neither one of us could afford it. And he pitched the idea, what if we co-bought it together? I didn't know who this guy was. What if we bought it together and shared it? You know, I'll have it, you know, like shared custody of this painting. And I thought, no, I think that's too complicated. But I do regret not buying that painting or finding a way to buy it. So anyway, you can't have it all. And
right. Yeah.
You know, as it is, my storage unit is bursting with my own work and work of others. So
sometimes I love photographs too, and been more interested in collecting that lately. And I kind of found a sleeper group of photos at Bonhams recently because it wasn't a photo sale that I got excited about. And I love the research aspect of all this. So researching the artist, learning about him, finding out, you know, what, you know, and some of them still have the markings from gallery shows on the back of them. And one of them, the price was what I paid for the whole lot of 9 or 10 photographs. But what was I going to say? I forget. Anyway.
Yeah. I can remember a painting that did not have I was in one of those thrift stores where people used to peel off the prices and put other prices on there, even though it was a thrift store, you know, just to get things cheaper. Mm. And so I was in a thrift store where if it looked like the price tag was fooled with or removed, they would abscond with the piece. They would not sell it. And I had a painting that I thought was fantastic in my hands. And the teller said, well, it looks like this price tag's been played with. Mm. And they had to, so they took it back. And that was years ago, but I can picture. It's so weird because, listen, girls, that painting had the most, it was a realist work from the 19th century. And it had the most exquisite treatment of, I can remember it was a bunch of grapes, Solamente, and it was just beautiful. And so I can picture it to this day, and then the little thrift store gal just taking it to the back. I was like, oh no. Oh, well. Hey, Richard, are you still there? Okay, let's go to quick break, and I'm going to just reintroduce. I'm speaking with artist Jacqueline Woods. She is art handler. So if you guys
handler, art preparer,
wonderful things that you need worked with, Jackie will, she's reframed things for me. She's dismounted things for me when I needed to see the backside of an old master, for example. She's at Avalon in Goleta, Avalon Labs in Goleta. And I'm here with Leslie Westbrook, and Leslie assists clients with selling fine art and antiques. She's a pro, an absolute pro, and she will help you with your stuff. Her website is www.auctionliaison.com. Mm-hmm. Leslie A. Westbrook. And we get back from the break, a couple more stories of regrets, and I'd really like to hear a couple of winners too. And I know we all have a couple winner stories too. And what we like to collect that we haven't actually talked about. Rich, let's go to quick break. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I am speaking with two wonderful women about their lives and stuff. And this is Leslie Westbrook and Jackie Woods. Jackie's an artist. Leslie is a person who will assist you to sell anything you need sold, even at a very, very high level. And she's best at high level. She's just really great.
Thank you.
She's worked with all the auction houses. All the auction houses know her. She's got amazing clients and has many clients. And you probably, if you know the name, you're probably a client of hers as well. She's reachable at www.auctionliaison.com or via email, Leslie A. Westbrook. And there's an A for Andrea, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie A. Westbrook at gmail.com. Jackie is assisting at Avalon Laboratories. They are a conservation and restoration company in Goleta. And they are wonderful. I have to say, I had the good fortune when you guys were first starting off. Jacobs was just on the space. I discovered him and I said, well, oh, you've got to come and talk to me on the air about what you plan to do with the company. And it was before he actually got set up. I remember he was very nervous, but he was very intense and very smart. And I thought he's gonna do really well in this community. Jackie's with them, and she does for me and many other clients, she does custom framing and custom mounting with an artist's eye, which is so rare. Usually framers are not coming at framing from that direction at all. So we're really glad that Jackie is with Avalon and she's here with us today. She's a maker and collector of photographs. And it turns out she's got 30,000 American snapshots that she uses in her artwork. Jackie, tell me, what else do you collect?
I collect old soul. So objects that maybe I don't even know what they are. Something that just speaks to me. Does not have to be expensive. Some of my favorite things are that I hardly paid anything for, you know? So I collect frames, believe it or not, because I have an interest in the history of frames. And that's a whole world unto itself. I collect other people's photographs, obviously. I collect other artists' work. And what else do I collect? It's all over the map. It's textiles. It's materials. Any kind of material that I think I can make something out of is I will collect. So yeah, that's the gist of it.
And Leslie, how about you?
I'm particular to art. I have work by artist friends like my friend Masami Terioka, who's 88 and I've known since I was 20 years old, who's in the Whitney Museum of Art. And the same thing, I have things I've bought at thrift stores or antique stores for very little. I like whimsical things. I like folk art. I like Latin American art. I like photographs. It's really all over the place. And then, you know, like you say, finds. So it's a real hodgepodge. I keep thinking I should be more self-directed. And as I said, I've been more interested in photography lately. I have a photograph I cherish that I inherited of my godmother that was taken by Steichen. Yeah, which I love. And so, yeah, that sits on my desk, you know, but it's next to a printout I did of the photograph of Carlos Merida, the artist who you guys did a restoration for, because he's so handsome. He's been dead about 50 years. I fell in love with him and I just have him pinned up and a hand of Aldous Huxley, a photograph of Aldous Huxley's hand because his wife Laura was a friend. So a lot of things are very sentimental. Just a mishmash. My life in visuals.
Yes, I understand. I understand. I have I guess I have like a psychological problem because I like to collect things that I call them orphan. For example, unsigned paintings, things that are kind of broken that I think I can fix. Clothing that's too big that I think I can resize. Anything that I can see the ghost of something that it could be. Things that are too dirty or too tarnished or beyond repair. And I think, wait a minute, I bet you I could figure that one out. I have two storage lockers full of orphans and $300 a month per. It's ridiculous. But I'm attracted to things that I think so I can refinish or repaint. Or if there's a painting that's not quite done, or I think it's not quite done, I think to myself, well, I can finish that. I can complete it. And I don't know what it is. Like I said, it's a psychological thing. Like I have a savior complex or something. Leslie, you know.
Well, I can tell you I love polishing silver because I like the immediacy of it, you know, bringing a tarnished thing back to life. So that's a weird thing. I don't like doing dishes. I don't like vacuuming, but I love polishing silver. I find it very meditative and you get immediate results. So maybe that's what you should do so you don't have to get out the paint box and fix all those things.
I do too. I like polishing silver, and it's a little funny tradition in my family because nobody really dines formally anymore. Mm. You know, we get together for the holidays and nobody setting a table, but I insist on it. If I'm going to be at your party, I want my family, I want you to use grandmother's silver for sure. So I always get the job of polishing that. But yeah, there is a thing. And I just have to say, Jackie, Leslie and I come at things very similarly through the years. We recognize this, but it's interesting. So Richard, are you there? Oh, I'll tell Richard in a minute. He'll be interested in this. So Leslie's a Gemini. Okay. So we're talking about Leslie and myself and some of the psychological things that, you know, Leslie reminded me of this when she said the immediacy. So she's a Gemini, and Geminis like immediate results. Mm-hmm. They like quick. They're very quick thinkers. They're quick actors. They're quick. Okay, so Leslie's a Gemini. She's got Virgo planets, too. I remember doing her chart.
The astrology show.
Yes, right. And that's why I asked Richard. So Leslie's Gemini Virgo. I'm Virgo Gemini. I'm just the opposite. So I'm Virgo sun and Gemini is strong Gemini planets. And so it's very interesting. We both have that immediacy thing going on. Like it has to be quick. Mm. I like writing short stories and, you know, writing whole big books is a problem. I've done it, but it's a pain. So yeah, there's that immediacy thing, but you know, I have to say, this is one of those shows where it hits close to home because it involves what we do and what we love and what we cherish, which is material culture. That's a fancy way of saying that through material things, you find relevance and culture. And I always found it really interesting that Leslie was such a pro at Latin American art and she's also really interested in Latin American travel, I know. But I wonder, Leslie, if you could talk a little bit about Latin American art. And I will say, Richard, I'm going to actually leave the planet for a little bit. I have an appointment I got to run to, and I'm going to let Leslie commandeer the ship and talk a little bit about her love of Latin American art. Leslie and Jackie, thank you very much for joining me today. And don't turn that down. The girls are still here.
Thank you. Thanks, Elizabeth. We are back on the Elizabeth Stewart Show. I'm Leslie Westbrook sitting in for Elizabeth while she does her errands. She probably went to an estate sale ahead of me to find goodies. And we were going to talk a little bit about Latin art. The last time I did Elizabeth's show, we were trying to get I love murals. And Barrio Logan in San Diego has incredible murals, as well as the Presidio District up in San Francisco. And I worked very hard. About 6 years ago, I got an idea that we needed a mural at the Aliso School here in Carpinteria, where I live, because it had been segregated for Mexicans only until 1947. So we had a big campaign. We had an opening for artists. And Jackie, you probably know M.B. Hanrahan, because she's done tons of murals down in Ventura, where you are. And she won the award. And now we have a beautiful, beautiful mural representing past, present, and future at the Aliso School in Carpinteria. And I invite everybody to come drive by. It's there 24 hours to look at, right in the front of the school. It's just beautiful. Jackie, do you know M.B. Hanrahan?
Do not. I've lived and worked in the Central Coast pretty much my whole adult life. So I went to school in San Luis Obispo, lived in Santa Barbara for a number of years. lived in Ojai for a decade, and now I'm in Ventura. So I've been here almost 15 years, and I just don't know it all.
Well, her murals are all over Ventura. Yeah. She's got a studio on the avenue up there at the Bell Mattress Art Factory. So you recognize her. She has big blonde Rastafarian, and she's been painting pinks. She's a kick and a half. She's really wonderful. Anyway, we were talking about storage units, but I wanted to compliment Avalon Labs, where you work, because I worked with them very closely last year. And for, I can't remember, it was under $2,000 to do, maybe it was $1,200, but somewhere in that range to clean. We had two paintings, one painting you couldn't even see. I didn't see the paintings. They were so dark for a month in the living room. And I went, oh my gosh, look at those paintings over there. And then one of them I could see was a Toreador. The other one, I couldn't tell what it was. And Oriana, Andrew came, picked up the painting. Oriana cleaned this piece. It was a señorita with a dog in a Spanish setting. It was by a famous Spanish artist, and now I'm going to forget his name. But I have to tell you that painting, one of those paintings, sold at Christie's and exceeded the original estimate because it was cleaned by about $10,000. So what you guys do over there is magic. It's so worth the investment in restoring and cleaning paintings and framing. And Avalon Labs is just wonderful. Love Andrew and Ariana. And you guys are great. That's a great asset to know about here.
They're lovely. They're both lovely to work with. And Ariana is, wow, she is so good. Her level of confidence with her hands and what she does.
And your prices and the pricing is very, very fair. I have to also add that.
Yeah. Very good.
Anyway, so let's see. We were talking about storage units. And you mentioned something interesting because you talked about, well, first of all, I think the important thing to know about storage units is if they're insured or if you have your own insurance. And the other thing is, humidity, temperature control. There's some incredible storage units in Los Angeles. Hollywood Labs is one. I know of another one that do specifically art storage, and they even have huge places for you know, Hollywood movie stars that have you, or the Kardashians that have incredible fashion collections, you know, designer clothing collections, couture clothing. So maybe you want to talk about storage, the storage wars.
Well, you know, as an artist, I collect a lot of material, so I'm truly a material girl. Fortunately, on my refrigerator, I have a statement by Joseph Cornell, and he says that all artists are collectors, and I think he's right. You have to collect stuff that you're going to paint or make things with. So there you have it. I have a lot of materials, and a lot of the history of analog photography. So I've got, you know, the old school stuff of photography that is no longer made.
For me as a writer, because I began my life as an art major and a studio assistant to artists in Los Angeles. And that was pretty much a good old boys club when I worked for Billy L. Bankston and a couple of other artists in LA. And I switched, I started making films, and then I ended up being a writer, specifically writing about travel, design, art. But for me, objects hold stories. And when I look at things and I think, it's funny because if, like you do and I do, if we go to estate sales or stuff and somebody dies and, you know, you buy something because it appeals to you, but you don't know the story behind it. And then sometimes I'm walking around my house and I think, okay, I'm dead now. And everybody's going through my stuff and they don't realize what this, you know, maybe this had meaning, but this didn't. This is just something I picked up. I liked it. It was, you know, $50, but this was given to me by someone, or this represents, you know, a time in my life. So I think the hard part about letting go of things, as I said to you earlier, I believe we spend the first half of our life collecting stuff and the second half trying to get rid of it, is that, you know, the stories and the importance, you know, little ceramics I have that my godchildren made for me that mean nothing to anyone, you know, but they mean the world to me.
Well, interesting that you say that. I'm taking time to go through my whole collection and writing on the back of each piece what it is, artist is, where it came from, why it's important. And so, because at some point I'll be gone and that will all remain.
That's a really, really thoughtful thing to do. And leaving your things in order for when we're on to the big art museum in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Richard, do you have anything you want to add to the conversation? I think we're coming up to the top of the hour here.
We are. It's time to wrap it up. So
thank you and goodbye for Elizabeth Stewart. And from me, Leslie and Jackie, thank you all for listening. And get out there this weekend. There's lots of flea markets and garage sales this weekend.